But let's start with our first sex and cancer story, because Australian research has linked the human papillomavirus, the same virus that causes cervical cancer, to esophageal cancer, which in fact has been a tumour whose incidence is growing fast. These findings could explain a lot and in fact save the nation a fortune. The research focused on a condition called Barrett's esophagus. This occurs mostly in men who've had acid reflux for some time with symptoms like heartburn and acid coming up into the back of the throat. Up to 10% of them will develop this abnormal lining at the lower end of their esophagus just as it opens up into the stomach. Barrett's has been thought to be precancerous, but Shan Rajendra, who's Professor of Medicine at the University of New South Wales and a researcher at the Ingham Institute at Liverpool Hospital, has thought otherwise.
That's right. The lower third of the esophagus changes from its normal lining to a slightly abnormal lining due to the leaching away by acid. Some people used to think that this was a protective mechanism to defend against the harsh environment. And I was one of the proponents of that theory because there was never that strong association with esophageal adenocarcinoma in every patient with Barrett's esophagus. In fact, there is data to the contrary to show that 90 to 95% of patients who are diagnosed with cancer of the esophagus, esophageal adenocarcinoma, the glandular form, don't have Barrett's esophagus.
I thought that, in fact, it was the other way around, that almost everybody who had esophageal cancer had this precancerous condition before they developed the esophageal cancer.
No, it used to be thought that. What we're finding is that 90 to 95% of patients with Barrett's esophagus never develop cancer of the esophagus. That's an amazing fact.
And yet it's called this precancerous condition.
And it's called this precancerous condition.
There's a huge industry because people like you are doing repeat endoscopies on people and doing biopsies and watching them in case it turns cancerous.
And it's a huge burden to the health department. Absolutely. And screening of Barrett's esophagus has never been shown to prevent esophageal cancer. There's probably one or two studies to show we may have picked up these cancers at a slightly earlier stage, but it's never been shown to improve survival. It's an enigma.
So you found human papillomavirus in Barrett's esophagus?
That's what pushed me to look for other causes for the dramatic rise in esophageal cancer. This cancer has exponentially risen by 600% over the last 40 years. It's the fastest growing cancer in the Western world.
So you were driven by the fact that the common belief out there is that the acid damages the lower esophagus. The lower esophagus reacts to defend itself, and in so doing, that irritation and inflammation produces a direct line to cancer. You didn't believe that was the case, and you looked for another cause for the esophageal cancer.
I always felt that the irritation of the lower end of the esophagus wasn't enough to cause the cancer. There had to be another factor.
So what did you do in your study?
We looked at about 260 patients who had no Barrett's esophagus, who had chronic heartburn, those also who had Barrett's esophagus, and more severe forms of Barrett's esophagus, what we call dysplasia.
So they're heading towards cancer.
Heading towards cancer. And also those patients who had esophageal cancer. That's the cancer sequence of the esophagus.
So normal esophagus, Barrett's, advanced Barrett's, and esophageal cancer.
Absolutely.
And the people that you looked at with esophageal cancer, had they had Barrett's beforehand?
Not all of them.
And what were you looking for?
I was looking for the DNA of the human papillomavirus, in particular the high-risk types of 16 and 18, which are the main causes of cervical cancer and also account for about 30 to 40% of head and neck tumours as well.
So you were led to this because of this epidemic amongst particularly white males of tonsillar and oral cancer due to human papillomavirus.
That was one of the reasons that made me look for this virus in earnest.
People have looked for H. pylori, the ulcer bug in Barrett's esophagus, and it's not been there.
That's absolutely right.
Because it's a cancer-causing organism too.
Absolutely. Causes 70% of cancers of the distal end of the stomach.
The far end of the stomach.
The far end of the stomach.
Away from the esophagus.
That's right.
So people had ruled out H. pylori as a problem, esophageal cancer.
That's right. In fact, Helicobacter pylori probably protects against cancers of the esophagus, and my study was one of the few studies that have shown that as well. It's a controversial theory.
Meaning that when you see high levels of H. pylori, you see low levels of esophageal cancer? Is that what the story is?
That's right. We think that the Helicobacter pylori, if it stays long enough in your stomach, it gets rid of your acid-producing cells, and therefore you've got less acid to reflux up into your esophagus, and hence it's got less propensity to cause Barrett's esophagus.
Devilishly clever. So what did you find when you looked for HPV?
We were astounded at the find that high-risk HPV was increasingly detected from the benign forms of esophageal disease and increased in prevalence as we traversed the sequence of more severe Barrett's esophagus and cancer.
Did it ever reach 100%?
Approximately 66%.
So it's not the cause of all of them?
Absolutely not.
Is it the cause of any of them, or is it just a fellow traveller?
I don't think it's a traveller, and that's why we then went on and did more detailed studies looking at whether it was an innocent bystander or loitering with intent. And essentially what we did was we looked for cancer-causing proteins. If an organism causes cancer-causing proteins, then it certainly is acting with intent, and that's what we detected.
We need to clear up a bit of confusion because the listener could well be confused now, because what you've done is what's called a cross-sectional study. You've taken a slice across different groups of people with different problems, but you've not actually looked through a time sequence in an individual person. I'm assuming really that what's in your mind is not so much that you catch the HPV towards the end of your journey with acid reflux, but it's those who have HPV at the beginning of their journey with acid reflux who then go on to develop the more serious forms of disease and cancer. Because you're unlikely to catch HPV in your 50s. You're going to catch it in your 20s through oral sex or what have you.
That's absolutely right. 95% of us will get rid of the human papillomavirus. It's that 5% that persists.
So for a proportion of these people, the immunization over time, over the next generation or two, will fix things up because boys are being immunized as well as girls now. But is there any indication that, for example, people who've been diagnosed with cancer of the tonsil due to human papillomavirus or cancer of the mouth and throat area, that they're at increased risk of esophageal cancer?
We don't know that. That's a good study, actually, to perform. We know that patients who have an HPV-associated cancer are more likely to get a second-site HPV-associated cancer.
How does this change how you operate as a gastroenterologist? There is this huge industry. God knows how many tens of millions it's costing us to screen for Barrett's esophagus at the moment. And until this conversation, if I had it, I'd probably be demanding my gastroenterologist screen me. So should gastroenterologists now be routinely testing for HPV, and that those are the people who get more, or you should at least do a trial to see whether those are the people who merit more intensive testing? And you could say to the people who don't have HPV, well, maybe we could see you every 2 or 3 years rather than every year. What's the story here? Because presumably you need to do further research to be sure.
You've hit the nail on the head. You're absolutely right. What we've always struggled with in gastroenterology is to pick the subgroup, what we call the high-risk progressors to esophageal cancer from Barrett's esophagus. What I do now is, as a result of this study, I've started offering my patients to test for human papillomavirus. You've got to use highly sensitive methods. People have gone before me and tried to look for this virus and have not been able to pick it up. It's extremely important we use highly sensitive methods, what we call a nested PCR, polymerase chain reaction, to pick up the DNA of the virus. And we use fresh frozen tissue to do that.
You're doing that off your own bat. You don't have any proof it's going to make any difference. So this could be another industry with no benefit.
Well,
should there be a trial to see whether, over the next 10 years, to see whether or not it's worth spending money on HPV testing?
Absolutely. I mean, if we learn the story from cervical cancer and the story from head and neck tumors, we know that those who have persistent high-risk human papillomavirus detected in their tissue are at high risk of recurrence of cancer if that is excised. So we can extrapolate to another HPV-associated cancer and at least perform those studies to prove the same point.
And presumably somebody needs to repeat your study using the same technology just to make sure you were right.
That's absolutely right.
Shan Rajendra is Professor of Medicine at the University of New South Wales and a researcher at the Ingham Institute. And this is the Health Report here on RN with me, Norman Swan.